I want to greet you this morning in Jesus' name. The Christ of God in Luke chapter 6. Verse 19. John the Baptist in prison. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou that he should come? Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were coming to him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of the evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen, and we receive, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Let's turn to 1 John. Chapter 5. verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now let's turn back just a little bit to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now let's go back to 1 John, chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself as he is pure. Stop right there for now. John the Baptist, sitting in prison, heard about a man coming through town. And he sent the disciples to see if this was him. John the Baptist had initiated his ministry by baptizing him, but here he was sitting in prison. So he heard about a man coming through town, and he said, is that him? Is that Jesus? Is that the Christ? So his disciples went and asked him, and Jesus just, I would say, for quite a little bit of time. It sounded like he did several things while they were observing. And he just had them observe him. And after a while, he said, he told them, go tell John what you saw. And so he went back and reported. But I don't believe John had any trouble understanding and realizing that this was him. Because they knew what they saw. They saw that the way he was doing and the way he was living and the way he was working, doing the miracles that he was doing, and preaching to the poor. And he recognized Jesus because John had spent his life looking for the Messiah to come, the Christ. And here, the Christ fit what he was supposed to be. That was his faith. He believed. He didn't just believe that he died. He had faith. That little song was saying, we fought, walked by faith and not by sight. What a blessing that is. To walk by faith and not by sight. Read that song. We walk by faith and not by sight. No gracious words we hear from him who spake as man ne'er spake, but we believe him near. John the Baptist couldn't see him. He was in prison. John the Baptist couldn't feel his presence. John the Baptist couldn't even go talk to him, have communications with him, other than through someone else. But he believed. He had to walk by faith that this was him. And that's exactly what we do. It's not by our experience that we have with God. It's our walking by faith. I wanted to title this morning a couple of different things. I'm having a couple of different thoughts. The assurance of salvation for your Jesus is a faith. There's a lot of people today that have an experience, and they call it being born again. But I don't find anywhere in the Bible, in fact, just in going through this, I don't think there's hardly any other places where it talks about being born again. There's only three or four places in the Bible where it even talks about being born again. And Jesus never relates it as an experience ever to be sought after. He relates it to being born. He relates it to the wind, Peter says we're born again by the Word. And that's when we obey it. We hear the wind today. It's a windy day. But yet we can't see it. But it's blowing because we can hear it. It's moving things because it has an effect. That's what being born again is. If we read through the book of John, 1 John, this is where people use some of these verses to realize an assurance of salvation. And not one of these verses are based on an experience that someone has had with God. Not one. The assurance that we have in all 1 John, where this is the assurance chapter, when people are doubting their salvation, they're pointed to 1 John. And I want to speak to this. Another title that I thought of this morning is, Do You Doubt Your Salvation? Do you doubt your salvation? I grew up in a church that taught that if you doubted whether you were saved or not, you probably were not saved. And that was drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled. If you doubt, you probably don't have it. There was a saying we talked about once that whenever we grew up, there was basically Arminian and Calvinist teaching. They would teach that the Methodist would believe that when you were saved, they would have a great experience, but then they were scared to death they were going to lose it. They believed, they knew that they knew that they had salvation, and they were scared to death that they were going to lose it. And then the Baptists come along, and they knew that they could never lose their salvation, but they were scared to death they had never got it. Both of them were basing their ideas on a salvation that was an experience instead of a salvation that was repentance and turning back towards God. Basing their salvation on something happening and remembering the day that it happened. They'd often have you write your name in the back of the book so you'd remember that something happened on that day. We grew up believing that if you doubted that, you probably really didn't have enough faith. That is not the faith that the Bible talks about in any way, shape, or form. And if you're still pursuing a salvation like that, you're pursuing a Jesus that's a fake. You're chasing the wind, and you can't catch it. I grew up, and I don't know how many trips I made to the altar because I didn't want to miss out, because I didn't believe strong enough. Every time a preacher would preach a hard message or something about hell, I didn't want to go there. And I would go to the front, humble myself over and over and over again, and run up to the front and go to an altar. Maybe if I just prayed a little longer or a little louder or a little deeper, that I'd get this faith that they were talking about. And I thank the Lord that I never did. Because the people that wind up getting this faith that they never talk about, that they talk about, that we have to have, that you never doubt whether you were saved or not, they get an assurance about them that they many times get complacent. They don't worry about it anymore. I would have stopped pursuing anything if I would have rested in that. Whenever I first went to an altar 40 years ago, as a little child. That's why they get them when they're young. That's why they have children evangelism. These different groups that get their children saved when they're 8, 7, 8, 9, 6, 10 years old. And get them believing when they don't question anything. And they just believe that Jesus died for them. Can go on to live however they want to. Their Jesus is a fake. They're not following the Jesus of the Bible. The assurance we have is that He's who He said He was. We believe it. And the assurance that we have is that we're dedicated our lives to follow Him in spirit and in truth. Chapter 2 in 1 John. Verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. How many people profess that they know the Lord and don't keep His commandments? Verse 5, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. Are we in Him? Are we walking even as He walked? This is how we know. This is our assurance. It's not based on an experience that we have. Maybe sometime God gave an experience to wake us up out of something. Don't rest in that experience. Use it to go on and walk with God. You might have had a revelation that woke you up out of your darkness. That's getting woke up. being born again is whenever you die. And you walk in newness of life. Whenever you lose your life and you find new life in Christ Jesus. Hereby we do know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Is that our goal? To walk like He walked? To talk like He talked? To live like He lived? If it's just so that you can be saved and have an assurance or have a peace that you're saved, or have a joy that you're saved, your Jesus is probably a fake. But if your desire is to walk like He walked, according to the Scriptures, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Not just picking out a promise in the Word of God, but to take the Word of God and let it reveal to you how He walked. Let it reveal to you who He is. These verses have been twisted to where the Jesus that comes out is a false Jesus. Just because He said, I give unto men eternal life, and someone comes along and says, well, hey, that's a good promise, I'm going to believe that. And then they stand on that and say, Jesus said, I have eternal life, and no one's going to take that away from me. No one's going to make me doubt that He didn't say that. You've placed your assurance in something that never guaranteed that you're going to get it. Sure, the words are true. Sure, the man that spoke them is true. But you missed it, because that's not what He was trying to convey to you. Being born again is something that people can see as a difference. It's living a life not caring that the world will not recognize you as a follower of Jesus. They didn't recognize Him. They didn't know Him. They did not know Him. And they will not know you. Sometimes we get discouraged because we keep trying to tell people and keep trying to convince people about our message. And they just take it and go every direction in the world. They come back with all kinds of excuses and all kinds of arguments. and they do not hear. The reason they do not hear is because they do not know Him. They do not know Him. They may obey some of the rules. Just this week, we talked with some people. There's a verse here that let's just go on through here in John. We'll get there. John chapter 3. Words where these commandments are not grievous. What verse is it? Kids. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous to us. They're not a burden. We want to do it. We want to please God. If it's a struggle and it's a fight to obey God, there's something wrong. There's probably still two masters fighting for possession. If we don't want to do what's right, and it's just a battle all the time, there's something wrong. His ways are not grievous to those who are born of the Spirit. Second Peter says that Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we'll just begin, I want to read the whole thing. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus, and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto you exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's two spirits at work in the world, the spirit of the world and the spirit of Christ. And to become a partaker of that divine nature, it's what it means to be born again. To have a heart that follows after God. People doubt their salvation. And almost often, people will blame God, or they'll blame the devil. They blame the devil. Who is it that would make you doubt your salvation? They'll lay that blame on the devil. Bible says in Titus that the grace of God that brings that salvation is trying to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this world. There's the wind blowing. There's the Spirit that's calling us to the true salvation. He's trying to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Not the Spirit that tries to assure you that you're all saved. It's amazing how it works. Used to be one of the biggest problems to a preacher is how to convince people that they're saved. And they don't have to doubt it. Playing groups teach that if you get good and saved, then you won't doubt your salvation. That if you have a deep enough experience, then you won't doubt your salvation. But then this Spirit comes along and teaches you that you still haven't denied ungodliness and worldly lust. You're still not living righteously and soberly and godly. And there you are again. If you're doubting your salvation continually, you're looking at the wrong place. And it don't matter how deep your experience goes. Let it drive you to God. Let it drive you to abandon yourself. Recklessly abandon yourself, your salvation, everything you've got, and throw it at Christ's feet. and walk as He walked. When people get this experience, I'm convinced it just seals them away. When they have that perfect assurance that they're saved, I wonder if they can really be saved after that. I wonder. David says, keep me from presumptuous sins. And if you seek after something long enough and hard enough and diligent enough, you'll find it. If you want that peace that just knows that you're secure in this life, that you've secured the next life, and you keep pursuing after it, there's not very many people I know that keep on pursuing godliness. They start teaching just about salvation. And anyone that would question, why does the world say, you're judging me? Why does Christianity say, you're judging us? Doesn't God forgive? It's because the Spirit of grace that's bringing salvation is speaking through an earthen vessel. When we preach to them, trying to put a little question mark where they've gained a false assurance. The reason it's so dangerous is because they can't doubt that they're saved or they're lost. And so if they begin to doubt that they're truly saved, how can they pursue on to something else? How can they pursue on to God? It's the spirit of the Antichrist. That's teaching people that they could be saved apart from being a true disciple of Jesus. Not that hard. But you have to lose yourself. We look out at the world and we see the world self-destructive, destroying their own bodies with their drugs and their alcohol and their immoral living. Destroying their own bodies, poking holes in them and painting them all up permanent with their tattoos and their earrings and all of that garbage. Trying to look bad. Self-destructive. We all know that's wrong. You can see that's wrong if you have a lick of sense. If you have a little bit of godliness, you can see that there's nothing right about any of that. It's not good. It's self-destructive. Then you get on the other hand and you see self-preservation. People going to church. People living clean lives. Living good lives. whether it's in a $10 million building, trying to give everybody a great impression, just going to church and being a good person, loving the world and loving God at the same time, supposedly, but doing enough right to preserve yourself. To people separating themselves out into the middle of nowhere, submitting themselves to some church, and letting them make all the decisions for them, not having hardly a care in the world, in a beautiful place, to preserve yourself from the world. To preserve yourself from the world. Both of those are the exact same things. Self-destruction and self-preservation. They're still serving self. You're still serving self. You want to be saved. You're trying to preserve yourself. It's not about self. Jesus, His first instructions, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself and follow me. Take up his cross and follow. It's not about having assurance so that you can assure yourself a place in heaven. It's losing yourself so that you can assure that you're a disciple of the Lord. Self-destruction, self-preservation, still all about self. Lay yourself, abandon yourself. Die to yourself. Lose yourself. And you can find Christ. If your Jesus is all about you, if your Jesus is about you finding salvation, and that's all there is to it. If the religious things you're doing are just to save yourself, and you're missing it. Your Jesus is a fake. You're still serving yourself. If it's hard to forgive people, you don't want to forgive. Self still in control. If you don't want to identify yourself as one of Christ, it's a grievance to you. Self's still a problem. If you don't want to obey your husbands, men don't want to take the authority that God has given, be a godly leader, still talking about self. You'd rather just let somebody else take care of all those things? It's all about self. Deny yourself. Abandon yourself. Follow the Lord. Father, we come before you this morning. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon your words. We just thank you for them, Father. Lord, give us your Spirit, Father, to deny this world. Not a spirit of just running and hiding from it, but a spirit to live righteously in it, Father. Help us to have faith to rise above it, right in the middle of it, Father. We know that you overcame it, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name.
no discouragement, shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a builder. Whoso he set in ground his dismal story, do but themselves confound his strength the more. No lion can him fright, he'll with a giant fight, but he will have a right to be a builder.
Here at 6:30 this evening, Lord willing. May God bless you.